I'm not pulling out of my driveway. We all know what that means. It's time for another Drive to Work at Home Edition. So today, we're going to talk all about the design of the Innistrad Remastered. So I went and got the lead designer, JC Tao. Hey, JC.
Hey, Mark. How's it going?
Okay, so I want to start by sort of explaining the parameters of what was given to you as a challenge. Like what? Okay, so here's what I believe the parameters were, and correct me if I'm missing something. You were allowed to go to any set, not just any set, sorry, any card that represented Innistrad, that took place on Innistrad. So obviously, you had access to Innistrad, Dark Ascension, Avacyn Restored, Shadows Over Innistrad, Eldritch Moon, Innistrad Midnight Hunt, Innistrad Crimson Vow, and any set where, like, you know, a core set or Modern Masters or anything that just literally it took place on Innistrad, right? That was the parameters.
That's correct.
Okay. And basically, you had to do two things. Let me get the easy one out of the way, and then we're going to spend most of the time talking about the hard thing. The easy thing is, hey, we wanted to reprint cards we knew people wanted, and cards that were good for Constructed. And I know you guys made a list, and you talked to all the Constructed people, and you know you made sure the cards that people wanted were in the product. That's not a very complicated thing. So you did do that. The product has a lot of fun reprints. Yes. The more challenging thing is you had to make a limited environment, and a limited environment, which is here's the cards you got. That's it. You can't make new cards. You can't invent new things. You have to make it out of what exists. So I want to really delve into that, because that to me, as a designer, that's the major challenge. Like I make sets all the time, but I get to make up cards. That's a lot easier. So okay, JC.
Yeah, no. That's definitely the case for remastered products like this. On one hand, for Innistrad Remastered, we have some extra leeway in we're pulling from seven sets plus a number of cards outside of those sets. But on the other hand, like you said, we can't just make any new cards. So we sort of work in parallel. If I recall, it was mostly me working with a couple of team members who were sort of on loan for me. Like we didn't have standing meetings and we just had a certain period of time to train the product. So on one hand, right, we consulted the format experts on what constructed cards to pull in. But luckily, they were mostly on higher rarity, so that didn't impact limited as much, right? Like we can do that while figuring out what the limited archetypes would be. And on the other hand, we sort of start delving into, oh, what could this color pairing do? How would that affect other color pairings? One of the unique things about Innistrad is the creature types elements. Every time we went back to Innistrad, it was always very dominantly clear that the playing is about werewolves and vampires and spirits and humans and, oh God,
zombies
as the last one, right? So that part was easy, right? We already had 5 of the 10 archetypes lined out for us. And it came down to what we wanted to do with other 5, as well as whether we wanted to put any twists on the existing creature alliances.
Well, so just for the audience to be clear, in original Innistrad, the structure we set up was there were 5 ally color pairings. White-blue was spirits. Blue-black was zombies. Black-red was vampires. Red-green was werewolves. And green-white was humans. And so every Innistrad set is to a good extent follow that. We definitely bled in some sets later. We add a third color to some of those. So, but that's the structure you're talking about.
Right. And you know, every time we return to Innistrad, there will be a small twist, right? Like in the most latest version, the vampire tribe cared a lot, a lot about the blood counters. And that wasn't introduced until that set. So it was a matter of, oh, we're doing vampires for sure, but how much do we want to emphasize the blood counters versus the original Innistrad, which was about, I believe, dealing damage to your opponent that would put +1/+1 counters on a number of your vampires.
Right. Each time we visited, we would take a new take on it. Although we always try to make them like we knew that if you're playing a vampire deck, you're going to want to play old vampires. So let's start with vampires. How did you give an identity to the vampires?
Well, with modern design sensibilities, we took a look at what we've done with vampires, and I just decided that like doing damage and putting counters was not the way we wanted to approach with this time around. It led to often a snowball situation where if you're ahead, you sort of kept getting ahead. And some of the more modern vampire designs were just led to better gameplay. So I believe we ended up seeding more of the, if you're discarding cards, the madness payoff cards were a lot more prominent this time around, I think. I'll remind you that it's been a while since I've looked at the file. We've also utilized some blood counters as well. Let's see.
Yeah, madness and blood counters both show up in a decent amount. So and those are both vampire things. And so,
yep.
Yeah, that's another challenge I think of having seven sets is there's a lot of mechanics, and I think you chose to highlight certain mechanics, and then there's some cameo ones that show up in small amounts.
Yep, exactly. Moving on, the humans are still, like, you want to go wide with a lot of humans. They are pretty resilient and resourceful, so we try to emphasize, hey, a lot of those humans have values when they enter the battlefield or when they die. So we try to play into the sacrifice theme. A little bit dark, but, you know, it is Innistrad.
Okay, so it's a lot about making tokens and casting creatures and just making a wide board presence. One of the themes I know we did in early Innistrad is the humans have some synergy with equipment. Did you play around with that at all?
Yes. We definitely had a number of equipments that show up. And some of them do reference humans, right? If you are in the humans tribe, your equipments are going to be a little bit stronger. It looks like we brought back Butcher's Cleaver. Not one of the most fun cards during this time alongside Invisible Stalker, but, you know, let me see if we have Invisible Stalker in here. I don't.
Yeah, well, that's another interesting thing is you could go back and look at all the limited, like how limited played out in each of these different sets to see, oh, how did it play out? Did we like it? What did we like? And right, you could look at combinations that were problematic.
It looks like we removed the Invisible Stalker so Butcher's Cleaver can have his fun moments in the sun.
Okay, next, let's get into one of the ones that I think is probably the one people will talk most about, which is werewolves, because werewolves have some big challenges to them.
Yes, that, okay, yeah, now he's coming back to me. Werewolves was the what we spent the most time on for the crafting of Innistrad Remastered, just because the current werewolf rules, day and night werewolves, did not work with the original werewolves, or they didn't work well.
Well, yeah, so real quickly, so the audience understands, one of the biggest things is, with day-night, day-bound, night-bound, if it's night and you play a werewolf, it comes in on the side of the werewolf in day-night. But if you play a werewolf that's not from, that doesn't have day-night, it doesn't. It comes on the normal side because it comes with the front face. And regular listeners of this podcast know it's a pain in my side. I really, really tried to get the werewolves, like Tarada, the old werewolves and everything, and anyway, that didn't happen. But right, there's a real challenge of, hey, these different components don't quite work together.
Yeah, in fact, one of the first things that we had a conversation about as soon as I started leading the set was, hey, do we want to use this opportunity to align the werewolf together mechanically so that we can reprint the product and get players to play with the werewolves the way all of them all at once. That involved a number of people. Ultimately, we decided that is not the right change for the moment, and we end up cutting one of the werewolf groups from the set. And I think we ended up with reprinting the older classic ones just because I think that had both more of a cachet and it brings back the nostalgia of, hey, this is the original Innistrad. Those are the werewolves that you guys haven't seen in the longest time.
It also was the lion's share of the werewolves that Midnight Hunt and Crimson Vow had the Daybound Nightbound werewolves, but all the other sets had the other werewolves.
Yeah, we had more to pick from. That's true. The transforming werewolves from Shadows and Eldritch Moon at least worked pretty well with the original OG Innistrad werewolves.
Yeah, the Eldritch Moon werewolves start on the werewolf side and go. I'm not sure how many that you have, but those are also a little bit different. So
yeah. It was quite tricky.
So what is the general strategy of werewolves from a limited perspective?
You could play the regular werewolves. Those will flip as soon as a player has passed with no action. And you actually want to play in combination with some of the Eldritch Moon werewolves, which when you sink extra excess mana into them, they flip. So if you play the first one and then you play the second one on your next turn, all you do is activate and you flip your second werewolf, the first one will also flip. So in that sense, they work really well. It doesn't require your opponent to do anything. You just get to have the best version of both of the werewolves.
Right. In general, werewolves like having a lot of things to do with their mana so that they can have turns they skip and not cast a spell and turn them all into werewolves.
Exactly.
Yeah, I mean, werewolves have always been kind of mid-rangey just because they sort of, you play them cheap, but then they become in bigger things.
Yep.
Okay, next up, we have spirits, white-blue. How does spirits play out?
Spirits were very straightforward in the original Innistrad. You know, all you do is play flyers. They all happen to be spirits, and then you sort of just fly over your opponent. I think the newer revisits to Innistrad added a lot more interesting twists and complexities to it. So we decided to pull in some of the spirits that were double-sided. They can see if I recall the particular
the disturb mechanic,
yeah. Right. So that you could play more of an interactive game where you're allowed to block and then try to get value. You don't have to always be in this racing situation.
Okay, and then last, we have the zombies in blue-black. What did you do with the zombies?
Oh, the zombies were very easy, if I recall. Most of the time, they cared about just having lots and lots of zombies. From that sense, you just really wanted to play with all of them, and even ones that make additional zombie tokens. I think after humans, zombies were the ones that leaned the most into having tokens.
Yeah, the interesting thing about zombies, just from a little tidbit as the original Innistrad, was I was really intrigued by the idea of capturing werewolves as they appear on film. And the danger of the danger of zombies in movies and stuff, it's not that any one zombie's dangerous. It's not. Most humans can deal with a zombie. It's like, oh, there's waves and waves and waves of zombies. That what makes zombies scary is there's an endless sea of zombies. And so we tried really hard to figure out how to capture that. And in some ways, the way blue-black tends to play out and zombies tend to play out is it's a control deck on some level. And like, yeah, your win condition is I hit you with a million zombies, but it's because I've gained control of the game. And then, you know, my win condition is I can just, you know, I will build up to zombies over time. And then I can just win by having this lots of zombies attack.
On the subject of zombies, one of the really awesome opportunities I got to do was pull in a future card back into Innistrad Remastered.
Okay.
This is the Invasion of Innistrad. It is the battle card that if you manage to flip it, you start creating hordes and hordes of zombies. So that is a card not from Innistrad playing, but we managed to get in here anyways. It helps out if you happen to be playing with any of the Delirium cards. I thought that was really cool.
Yeah, the other interesting thing about the battle is it's not easy to reprint battles because battles, at least the Martian machine, there were sieges, and so they're double-faced. And luckily, Innistrad is kind of known for the double-facedness. Werewolves are double-faced, and there's a lot of other famous. So you actually had a product that had double-faced. So,
oh, yeah, it was perfect.
Yeah.
One of the things I was excited about was to look at all of the double-faced cards throughout the entire history of Innistrad and figure out which ones made most sense to put into this set. So not only do we have the original werewolves as double-faced cards, where we got to pull in all the new disturbed cards, the battle, and the small, as well as a number of other cards.
Real quickly, for those, Invasion of Innistrad, for those that might not know the card, 2BB, Battle Siege, Flash. When this battle enters, target creature and opponent controls gets -13/-13 until end of turn. Once you win the battle, you give it to your opponent, you have to attack it. It has a 5, you have to hit it, do 5 damage to it. Then Deluge of the Dead is an enchantment. This is what you get when you defeat the battle. When this enchantment enters, create 2/2 zombie creature tokens. 2BB, exile tiger card from a graveyard. If it was a creature card, create a 2/2 zombie creature token. So it makes lots and lots of zombies.
Once you have it flipped, it's just going to be unstoppable.
We talked about the 5 creature types. So that's the ally, mostly the ally strategies. So let's get into the enemy strategies. Where do you want to start with the enemy? Do you want to just go?
Yeah, those were a lot trickier just because sometimes the themes have been consistent throughout the sets and sometimes they have veered sharply from one another. So I'll go with the easy ones first. Red white has always been classically about aggression. So you are playing a mixture of creatures and all you're trying to do is defeat your opponent before they have a chance to stabilize. And that's sort of been the case at every opportunity of those Innistrad sets. So that one is, we just put in a lot of aggressive cards, you know, into those colors and had it be a pretty sort of entry level feel. What other ones were easy? I think blue red is another easy one. Innistrad was one of the most prominent Spells Matters sets that I can recall. All the way back to the maybe famous or infamous Burning Vengeance archetype for Limited. So we made sure to put stock plenty of spells into the set, although unfortunately Burning Vengeance couldn't make it in. We just didn't have enough space for a flashback as its own unique mechanic. So those were pretty easy. The rest took a little bit of time to sort of figure out where they wanted to land. Black-green had a couple options that were both exciting. Between Morbid and Delirium and as well as other elements of South Mill. We end up going with Morbid again. It was sort of with the original classic Innistrad. It worked really well with a lot of the other cards that we had in the set, such as White Blast Human Sacrifice.
So Morbid, real quick, Morbid cares about when things die. It's from original
Innistrad. Yes, sorry. Yeah. Morbid cares about when things die. That played well into Black's tendency to sacrifice their things and the Green's tendency to just have large creatures. So when you're attacking, your opponent sort of have to block. They can't just keep on taking the damage. Green, I believe Black, White, once we figure out we want to do Morbid, Black, White sort of solidified itself as well. Just, hey, if you have an adjacent color that's caring about creatures dying, this color combination that's adjacent should care about allowing you to have ways to sacrifice your creatures for value. So, and the last one was green, green blue, which was the trickiest.
Well, that green blue one is had always the most options. By the way, just for the audience, green blue is always the trickiest in any set we've ever made. Green blue is the trickiest. It's the hardest of the 10 color combinations.
It was really hard. Investigate Matters was one of the set themes. Unfortunately, it came in sort of at a smaller density than we liked. There wasn't quite enough support. But luckily, Investigate and Clues were so popular that we knew we wanted to include some of them as anyways as standalones. I believe we ended up going with Self-Mill for a blue-green. That sort of showed up as a main theme as one of the sets. But also, just every set had a very strong number suite of self-mill cards in green and blue. So it wasn't that hard to actually pull enough enablers and support to reinforce the payoffs from that particular set.
Yeah, real quickly, and this shows off a really interesting thing about trying to remaster sets. So we made Investigate in Shadows Over Innistrad because we were doing Cosmic Horror, and a big part of Cosmic Horror is, oh, something creepy's going on, and you investigate, and there's a mystery. So really, once we got to Eldritch Moon, we were doing the horror part of it. So we, like, Investigate really was in one Innistrad set. I mean, there is a smattering of it, I think, in Midnight Hunt and Crimson Vow, but there really wasn't, like, mostly we're talking about one of the seven sets had it as a major mechanic, and the other six didn't. And so, yeah, it comes hard when you're trying to make a remaster set, and, like, yeah, it's very easy if all the sets do the same thing, then that's easy to do. But when, like, oh, one set did it, you know, do you have enough cards and can you make it work?
Yeah, no, it was a beloved mechanic. We just didn't have enough cards for it.
Yeah, and we've made a lot of other Investigate cards, but they're not on Innistrad, and you were limited to what was on Innistrad.
What was on Innistrad? Art, creative cards that fit on Innistrad. One of the cards I was really happy to pull in. Another card I was really happy to pull in was Crusader of Aldric, right? Clearly, if you hear the name, it's clearly a card from Innistrad, but it had actually never been printed into any of the Innistrad plays. Yeah, and it just happened to work really well with the limited set themes.
Yeah, Crusader of Odric is 2 and a white, creature, human soldier, star. Crusader of Odric's power and toughness are equal to the number of creatures you control. So it plays great in a go wide deck.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's, it is fun, because in core sets and stuff like Modern Master sets, and that we do like to show lots of different planes. Obviously, you pulled some stuff in from March of the Machine that had a bunch of Innistrad stuff in it, so that's pretty cool. Okay, so I'm going to go through. I have a list of all the mechanics that appear in the set at some level or another. So I'm going to go through and hit some ones that you haven't talked about yet, so we will talk about them. Okay, so let's talk a little bit about Escalate. That's that appeared only in Eldritch Moon.
I think you're right. I think you only appeared in a handful of cards, even in, within Eldritch Moon. But it was a really fun mechanic. It was a spell, so it allowed you to... It played really well with all the spell matter scenes that we have going on. And I believe some of the cards are also constructed favorites for its time, and maybe even today. So we made sure to put some of those in.
Yeah, so for the audience, Escalate is a mechanic, goes on spells. It allows you to spend extra mana. It has different modes, and you can spend extra mana to get additional modes, basically.
Oh, can we jump ahead and talk about Meld? I don't know if that's on your list.
Oh, it's on my list? Let's talk about Meld.
That is another mechanic that only appeared on, I believe, 3 cards, right?
There were three Meld pairs in Eldritch Moon, yes.
Yeah, and like you said, double face cards are very difficult to find places to reprint, especially Meld cards that have very stringent collation requirements. So when this opportunity came up, I was like, we gotta do Meld. And in fact, I believe we managed to put all 3 pairs of Meld cards into the set, with even one of them downshifted in rarity so that it'll happen more often for the people who are into melding into giant monstrosities.
Yeah, we have had Meld in other sets, but not Innistrad sets. So there's only 3 Meld pairs that appear on Innistrad. Okay, here's another one that's interesting. Miracle. This is from Avacyn Restored. It's a mechanic where if you draw the card, it's cheaper the turn you draw it.
That is correct. I am trying to recall which Miracle cards we end up putting in the set. Oh, I see at least one.
There's 2 Miracle cards. There's Temporal Mastery, and there is Reforge the Soul.
yes. You know, as much as people enjoy Miracle, and as much as those really awesome moments when it does happen, and you're like, oh, I really need this particular card off the top of my deck, and it's awesome, it wasn't always the most fun thing to do in Limited, where you sort of slow down the game, you're like always having to remember to check the top of your library, even when you're drawing cards during the off turn. So we wanted to pay homage to the Miracle mechanic. We wanted to put some of those in, but at the same time, we're like, okay, let's not put too much of that into Limited at the common and uncommon level. So that was sort of the compromise we made.
Okay, the next one I want to ask about is a mechanic that I know is very hard to balance. So you only put 2 of them in, is Undying. So it's on Young Wolf and it's on Butcher Ghoul. So Undying is a mechanic. We originally made a mechanic back in Shadowmoor called Persist, that a creature, when it died, it came back with a -1/-1 counter. So as long as it didn't have a counter on it, it comes back with a -1/-1 counter. And then in Dark Ascension, in fact, there's a great story here. I was trying to solve this problem. I was trying to make a fun monster mechanic, and I was talking with my wife, Laura, and I was like, I want to do Persist, but I can't because there's not -1/-1 counters. We have +1/+1 counters. And she's like, well, could you use +1/+1 counters? Like, yes, I could. yeah. But Undying is tricky. They're hard to balance.
They are. As a matter of fact, we might not have put in those Undying creatures had we ended up with a different theme for black-green. You know that we have Young Wolf and Butcher Ghoul. One of them is green card, one of them is black card.
Yeah.
They play really well with the theme of, oh, I have a creature I don't mind throwing away on my turn if I attack. And in fact, a Butcher Ghoul also does triple duty. It's a zombie for the zombie tribe. It's a, if you have any ways to sacrifice it, you can sacrifice it now 2 times over for the black and white sacrifice matters deck card type. So those cards made a lot more sense once we figured out what the set themes were.
And they're both tiny. They're both 1/1, so.
Right. Yeah, the tricky part was Undying Unlimited. If you have a large creature, and that scales much differently than if you had just have a small creature, right? Like Undying, sort of, you get two large creatures for the value of one, and that becomes hard to balance.
Okay, so here's a fun one. Here is a mechanic that's not from Innistrad. This mechanic never appeared in a set that was based on Innistrad, yet you have one card that has it. Splice Unto Arcane. So this is on Through the Breach, 4 and a red, instant arcane. You may put a creature card from your hand onto the battlefield. Oh, that creature gains haste. Sacrifice the creature at the beginning of the next end step. Splice Unto Arcane, 2 red-red. As you cast an arcane spell, you may reveal this card from your hand and pay its splice cost. If you do, add this card's effect to that spell. This is a bizarre thing. How did this card end up in the set?
I hope people will like it. It is not, you're right, it is not from Innistrad set. It is, in fact, it has a mechanic that is completely useless in Innistrad. However, we do have a super awesome version of the card with art of Emrakul.
Yes, right? Yes.
It is depicting, yeah. We're using that art. That is clearly, if anyone were to see that card, they're clearly going to realize, hey, this is from Innistrad. Emrakul is coming through and going to take over the world. And the card itself is just also very exciting to play with. I believe we were at one point sort of shopping for, oh, what awesome red rares can we put into the set? And someone's like, oh, this is sort of a joke. What about Through the Breach with the Emrakul art? It's like, yes, that sounds awesome. Let's do it.
Yeah, and that's one of the fun things. There's a little bit of, you guys got to do a little bit of, could we take an existing card, reconcept it on Innistrad? So you didn't do a lot of that, but you did a little tiny bit of it, so that was fun.
Mm-hmm.
So since we don't have too much time left, do you have any of your favorite stories, anything you remember like of making this set that we haven't talked about yet?
I guess one thing that a lot of people associate with Innistrad are the build-arounds and the combos. I think nowadays we do a lot of that, of course, and people enjoy them. But back when it was Innistrad, that was the first time people were like, oh, wow, I can play with Burning Vengeance. And all those cards that literally did nothing, like Mill Myself for 3, that become really strong. And Spider spawn the entire archetype. The infamous Butcher's Cleaver, the Invisible Stalker duel. So for this time around, for Innistrad Remastered, I really try to put in as much of those build-arounds as possible, especially at the uncommon slots, some of them even aggressively downshifted so that players can get a lot more replayability every time they play the set.
Yeah. So spider spawning, by the way, real quickly, 4 and a green, sorcery, create a 1/2 green spider creature token with reach for each creature card in your graveyard. Flashback, 6 and black. One of the things Eric Lauer did in the original Innistrad was he made cards with flashbacks in enemy colors so that he could start making some of his enemy combinations. And spider spawning has a special place, I know, in a lot of people's heart. I think it was the card that really hammered home to R&D how much fun it is to make these special build-around cards that people, like, once you've drafted a set a lot of times, you can find these little gems that, like, let you do a completely different thing. And spider spawning has become, like, the poster child of that.
Yep. Yeah, I look forward to hearing stories about people getting those combos together. We managed to put both Tree of Perdition and Triskaidophobia. I don't even know how to say that word, into the
just
set.
Electrophobia.
I hope that when players play it, there's a lot more room for discovery and a lot more depth and replayability.
Yeah, real quickly, I just because you mentioned this, the Tree of Perdition Tree of Perdition, 3 and a black, creature, plant, defender, tap, exchange target opponent's life total with this creature's toughness. And it's a 0/13. And then Triskaidophobia is, at the beginning of your upkeep, choose one. Each player with exactly 13 life loses the game, and then each player gains 1 life. Or each player with exactly 13 life loses the game, each player loses 1. Sorry. Each player with exactly 13 life loses the game, then each player loses 1 life. And so you can give your opponent 13 life exactly, and then get them. So that's sort of fun. Okay, well, I want to thank you, JC, for joining us today. I'm always fascinated by Remastered sets. I have the luxury of every time I make a set, getting to make up new cards. So it's, in some ways, a lot of what a remaster set is a lot like making a cube, right? Because mm-hmm, you only have existing cards to make it with.
Yeah, definitely. It was a very unique challenge, but I've been doing Innistrad sets for a while, so it was kind of the right person for the job, I hope.
Well, anyway, I just want to all you out there, get a chance to go play with Innistrad Remaster. It is a lot of fun. It'll remind you of all... The interesting thing is a lot of remastered sets have a much smaller pool, and this is pretty cool. Seven sets, you know, plus random other cards, is a pretty big pool, and there's a lot of cool mechanics. It is amazing. So I think there's 22 mechanical components by name that are in the set. So there's lots of fun things. You can explore all sorts of cool stuff. And you can get a lot of fun cards for your constructed decks too. So thanks again, JC, for being here.
Thank you for having me, Mark.
And everybody else, I can see my desk. So we all know that means this is the end of my drive to work. So instead of talking magic, it's time for me to be making magic. I'll see you all next time. Bye-bye.